Stand with me, if you will, in honor of the reading of the Word of God in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. As we read these four verses here, the context is that of Jesus has been much about ministry out in the cities and the villages and the towns. In all the surrounding area, it says in every village, in every town, he was there. And he was healing people. He was preaching and teaching and raised one girl from the dead. He gave two men sight that were blind. And he had done many miraculous things. Cast a demon out of a boy, and the Pharisees there, of course, you know, they were always around to give their critique of his ministry. And so they declared that he was casting out demons because he just didn't fit the religion and all of that. And so he was casting out demons with the power of the prince of demons, the prince of devils. And then we come and read these verses with that kind of as a signal of what was taking place. Verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now I want to read it again in the Amplified because there's some punch there that we need to realize, and this is the quickest way to receive that. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news, that is the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity." In verse 36, "When he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered. They were harassed and distressed and dejected and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest indeed is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Father, in this place today, we give you thanks. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to just be here. We thank you, Father, for the grace that bought our pardon and purchased us with your redemptive grace and mercy and love. And Father, by the giving of your Spirit, you indwell us. We're not just mere people walking on the face of the earth, but we're your children. We're your servants. So Father, we just pray, having read your word this morning, that you speak to us. Speak to our hearts and to our lives. And Father, give us the challenge that we need to be 100% committed to you. Not for any honor that we can receive, but Father, for your glory. Always for your ultimate glory. We pray that you bless this time this morning. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that name above every name. Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in this short verse, four verses here in this passage of Scripture, we come to see the high example of our Savior, Jesus Christ, as he went about doing the work of the Father, doing the work of the ministry that was there. And so we see in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages." It literally means to each and every one. He went to all that area, that region that was round about. And it took place over a period of time, but he would go there and it says that he would go there into their synagogues and he would preach the gospel and he would teach them the word of God, and he was there to show them the way to God. He was to show them the truth. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees were supposed to be doing. But we realize they miserably failed in that because they made it into a religion. Religion doesn't save anybody. Truth is what brings reality to the heart and brings the heart to come to God and to seek God. And it is God who saves, and it's the power of the gospel of God that causes you and me to recognize our condition before God, to recognize our lostness before Him, to recognize the fact that as we are born into this world, into this life, we are under the condemnation of God because of our sins. But it's the gospel that shows us that God is greater than our sins, and He has a will and a purpose and a power, and that His love is beyond what you and I can do in the way of sin in our lives. The grace of God and the mercy of God is very powerful, and it's there. So Jesus went about to all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel, and He healed every sickness and every disease among the people. So His work of ministry there was very, very powerful. And we see through Christ, or in Christ, we see the heart of God for His creation. That's why Jesus, who is God's, the Son of God, being God Himself, walking here on this earth, He reached out to people of all walks of life, of all needs of life. He was there and He did that, and He demonstrated the message of the gospel with the power of healing and the power of raising people from the dead and the power to restore sight to the blind and those types of things. And so we can tell from this verse, in verse 35, that there was need everywhere He went. And mostly what we see here are the physical needs, but there were spiritual needs as well, for He taught them and He preached to them the gospel. But the two went together because He was meeting the needs of the people who were there, the physical needs of people that were there, and proclaiming to them the gospel so that they might be the whole person that God had called him to be. So He proclaims the gospel there very avidly to them. Now look with me at verse 36, and then it says, with verse 35 is kind of the scene, the scenario there. Verse 36 says, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them." Let's just stop there for a moment. When He saw the multitudes. The word "saw" there is the very same word used in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus came down from the mount and he came down from the high mount and He was getting ready to preach what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It said He saw the multitudes. He looked at the multitudes there and He saw them. It's the same word, and it's the word that means that He didn't just see them, just see people standing and all this observing going on, but it means, there's two or three words for see, but this one means He looked out and He saw. He saw, looked at the faces of the people. He looked at the condition that the people were in, and seeing, He perceived. He understood. He understood the reality of what was going on in those people's lives. And then the Bible here says, Matthew tells us, that He had compassion. He was stirred with compassion for every single one of those people. You see, when He looked out and He saw the masses of people that were out there, He saw every need. He saw the hurt that was on people's faces. Haven't you looked, and we see them on when people advertise about mission ministries around the world, and the people, you know, flies on them, and they're suffering that people are going through. Jesus could see that in their faces and in their lives and in their physical actions and their inactivity and the things that were there. There were people that were hurting there in the world, and why were they following Jesus? Because they heard His message. Most of all, they heard about the power that He had to heal diseases, to raise people from the dead, to cast out demons. People were following Him. They were weary of life. And Jesus could see that on their faces, and He could read that in their physical appearance. And they had this desire for help. They were desperate. And so they followed Jesus, but Jesus saw the real needs of their hearts, and of their lives. And so he was stirred, the Bible says, he was stirred up with compassion. To be stirred up with a feeling is what that means. To have a very strong feeling within, a feeling of pity, a feeling of compassion, a feeling of desire and of a longing to reach out to people and to help them. Well, it's no different today than it was in Jesus' day. There are people all around us. I thought that was very evident when a group went downtown Tulsa here a couple, 3 weeks ago. And you see people in all walks of life and all conditions of life. And some were ready to hear and some had already heard and they were there. And there were those who were in such a condition you couldn't even talk to them about it. But people everywhere in Jesus' day and today in our day, there are people in the world hurting. There are people who are struggling. There are people who are looking for the light, so to speak. There are people who are looking for the answers that they need. They need to be delivered from habits, from drugs, from alcohol, from physical lusts and things like this. People need to be delivered from all sorts of things that come to damage people's lives and to bring them away. And we kind of get the picture here of when we were looking in the book of Luke and seeing that chapter with all the lostness of sinners, of people. It's like sheep without a shepherd. They go astray. They don't have the ability to come and find their way to the truth and their way to the light. They don't have that ability. And so being in such a situation, again here in verse 36, he saw the multitudes and his heart was stirred with compassion for the people. And he saw all the different people around him and the different situations that were there. And so he was moved with pity. And why was he moved with pity? Well, look at the rest of that verse. He says, because they fainted and were scattered abroad. Listen to what it says here again in the Amplified Version. He was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered. They were harassed and distressed and dejected and helpless. That little Greek word there that talks about that, fainted, well, is a word that means to flay, like you flay a fish. You cut it. It's only used in the New Testament in a symbolic sense. And that is that it brings about a sense of harassment of life, of the distress of life, and the dejection that comes by living in the world and by running into other people and the working of sin in their personal lives. Or the working of sin that comes against them. And the helplessness, the utter helplessness of people to do anything about their life situation. And so he says, and they were fainted and they were scattered abroad. Then notice the phrase that he uses, like sheep having no shepherd out there. Like sheep without a shepherd. There's a lot of Old Testament passages of Scripture that where God likens Israel to being wandering around and in their disobedience and their failure before God, like being sheep without a shepherd and having no leader in their life. And so here Jesus says this, and you know, he's already had this ministry going on. Now the Pharisees were on him and they were calling him a heretic and say, you cast out demons by the prince of demons and all of that. And then Jesus just perceived what was going on around him. And he noticed these things, that this is what it was like, that they were like people who had no ability to come and to help themselves. Now, brothers and sisters, in our day and time, in our world today, it's the same thing. People are desperate in their lives, in their circumstances. They need to hear the truth. They need to meet the Creator. They need to meet the Savior, Jesus Christ. They need to come to God. They need to come to God on His terms. And that's the only real terms that satisfy. And so it is meeting God and knowing God for who He is and what He has done for us. He's the Creator God, yes. But He's also the Savior of the world. And He, with compassion and mercy and grace and with holiness and righteousness and justice and judgment, came down to this earth and walked among men, gave himself over into the hands of terrible sinners, and they abused him and nailed him to a cross, all in the plan and the will of God to satisfy the holy demands of a holy God. That is, to take away the penalty of your sins and my sins by accepting the punishment for us. And that's what he did. So these people needed to hear that truth and to hear that message. And so here we see this, that these people were scattered about. They were without hope. They were desperate in their different lives. One translation says that they were lying prostrate from exhaustion. All of this that they were doing, the time they'd given, the energy they'd given, and out there probably in the wilderness somewhere, not in the town anywhere. And so the weariness of life had drawn them down, and they were following Jesus, and they were exhausted. And Jesus perceived that when he looked out there among them. Now, I think it's interesting to notice the next two verses. This being the picture that is pictured here for us, is drawn for us, it just touches at the heart. So look with me at verse 37. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." You see, there's a great need. There was a great need in Jesus' day. That need is just as great today, if not greater. There's more people in the world today. So we know, we believe the need is greater. It's everywhere. Everyone has the same need. One day, everyone will die, except one generation that sees the coming again of the Lord. But until then, everyone faces the reality of death. And if a person dies in their sins, they have a Christless eternity. An eternity in the lake of fire, the place called hell. A physical fire and torment that is forever and ever and ever. And that is the real need, even though people mess up their lives with sin and decadence and things, and maybe just the weirdness of things that maybe they've not done, but things that have been done to them, all the different scenarios that are out there. But the need is still the same. Everyone needs to know God and needs to know the truth. And it's not just a casual acquaintance. Yeah, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died on the cross and rose again from the dead for me. And I prayed to have him in my heart. And then that's just it. That's insufficient. That's insufficient because he's the creator God. He didn't make us just to spend our lives in self-pleasure, self-entertainment, whatever. Let's just get our eternity taken care of, and then let's get on with life as usual. That's not what God has for you and for me. And so here in the midst of all this need, Jesus says to his disciples, there's a harvest out there, and there's a great need in this harvest, and that harvest is plenteous. It's plentiful. It's abundant. There's just a lot of need out there. People, the only answer for the condition of their life is to know the saving grace of God. That's it. That's the only hope that anyone has. People say, well, they have a good job and they live well and they do that. Things are well. That doesn't necessarily mean that things are well on the inside, on the heart. And so we see that there is this use of the word harvest here. Now, Matthew uses the word harvest in a way to talk about final judgment. But here, he is writing the words of Christ, and he's talking about something that you and I must do here and now and here today. And that is that we need to go and to take the gospel out there to those people who are willing to hear and willing to listen. So it is a plentiful harvest. And then he comes and he gives this strong command. And it is a command. Look with me at verse 38. He says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So God is the harvest master. God is the one who is Lord over the harvest. Lord over the earth. Lord over the harvest. He's the one who is controlling. He is the one who is responsible. He is the one who's worked out the way and the means there of the harvest. And so it is that we are to pray to Him that He would send forth laborers. Now I like the way, well, the Amplified just puts it like it really says there in the original version, verse 38. So pray the Lord of the harvest to force out and to thrust laborers into His harvest. The harvest master can call people, men and women, young and old, to be harvesters, laborers in the harvest of harvesting the souls of the world, the people of the world. With people, he compares people to be like crops in a field, and they're ready to be led to trust in the Lord. There are people who are ready. Everywhere there are people who are ready. God is at work. It's not that they're ready because they've decided something. It's because God has prepared the hearts of many people. As Bill shared with us a couple of Sundays ago when we were given a report of going downtown, and those were divine appointments. You know, that one family there, I think it was, what, three of them were saved, Bill? A father and two sons and the wife. You know, come over here, you need to hear this. Come over here, you need to hear. Those were divine appointments. They were ready. There are people ready everywhere. And we need to be laborers in God's harvest. There, it is a command. It is not an option. It's not a choice that we make. But it is a command to work for God. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. So we are to pray for God to do that. But you know, there's just something about prayer, isn't there? Do you think this means let's all have a prayer meeting and let's ask God to send people into the harvest? Do you think that that's what this means? It might be a trick question. How could you and I pray for someone else to go and do something that we have been mandated to do? Yes, we are to pray for more workers. But first of all, do you not see that it applies to you and to me? Do you see that? Wow. Pray the Lord, therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will thrust out, that He will force out more workers out there into this harvest that is there. It's there and it's abundant. It's plenty. There's more work than there are people to do it. And so, you know, just a few weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, according to worldwide specialists and everything, the population of the world supposedly, and probably did, probably more than that now, hit 7 billion people. Remember that? That was the big news for a while, wasn't it? Think about all those people. You know what the world thinks the answer is? Let's stop having more children. That's the world's answer. Certainly, abortion is one of the big ones in China, and here, Europe. Reduce the population. Reduce the harvest. That's the world's answer. But God's answer is for laborers to go out into the harvest and bring them that gospel message that they need to hear. I want anyone to show hands. Don't want to do that. Just a matter of your consideration of your own heart. Are you one of the many people? Some statisticians say 80%. I don't know. Can't say for sure, but say 80% of Christian people have never even witnessed to a lost person. 80% have never even led a lost person to the Lord. I don't know. God knows. But you know what? If I was one of those, my prayer would be, first of all, to God, is to make me a soul winner. Does that make sense? God, You need more laborers in the harvest. before I can ask you to send them out, I need to be one myself. I need to be one. And I know it's not an easy thing to learn how to go out and actually do that for the first time or two or whatever it is. I know it's not a simple thing, an easy thing, but you know what? When you truly understand the gospel and you truly look into the eyes of people who are hurting and who have need, you know what? That compassion kind of overrides that fear. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that fear, by the way. I think it's a fearful thing. We need to be careful when we come to witness to somebody, because we need to do it in the power of the Spirit of God, not trusting in our own ability to have our own little method and 10-point plan or whatever it might be. But it is that we have the compassion that we see in the lives of other people. And I know you hear this over and over, but when you go to the Rogers County Jail, those people have hit rock bottom. And they're easy picking, I'll tell you the truth. Boy, the harvest is really ripe over there, you know, because they're ready to hear. Many of them are ready to change. And I realize that on the outside of the walls of that jailhouse are people who are just as in bondage as the people who are locked up on the inside. They're in the bondage of religion. They're in the bondage of selfishness and the bondage of sin and the bondage of habits. They're in the bondage of addictions. But they have the same need that you had one day in your life when you heard the gospel, when God called to your heart. So it is for you and me that we pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. You know what? The first priority would be, God, make me. Make me a laborer for you. There's two or three things here, then I'll close this morning. How would we come to put ourselves in a position with God that this is going to just to be a real thing? The first thing is, the Bible tells us to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of a reason of the hope that is in you, and ask in meekness and fear." Sanctify means to set apart God. It means to be committed. It means to commit yourself and myself to God. To be set apart to do what He wants us to do. That's a very real thing. It's just a real life experience. It's a born-again salvation experience. To come before God, to be committed to Him. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And then secondly, set your affections on things above. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You know why we don't do more than we do? Because we're in love with the world. Just stop and take a strong inventory of life. Where does all of our time go? I challenged myself and a few other people about reading the New Testament all the way through every week. The idea is to do it for the rest of our lives. I've not accomplished it yet, but I'm working on it. I'm going to keep on until I get it. I'm going to keep on until I do it. But you know why I find that I can't do it? There's too much stuff in life. Some of it's necessary. There are things that we have to do. But there's some of it that's not. So we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and we set our affections on things above, not on things on this earth. You see, this call is not a call for prayerless, careless Christians who are still struggling with sin in their lives. But it's a call for people to be filled with the Spirit of God and the ways of God and the will of God, to have a love for lost people and to be committed to lost people. It is a sense of responsibility and a sense of the value of lost souls.